Jesus proposed another parable to the crowds, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds all through the wheat, and then went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The slaves of the householder came to him and said, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where have the weeds come from?' He answered, 'An enemy has done this.' His slaves said to him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' He replied, 'No, if you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. Then at harvest I will say to the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them into bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn.' He proposed another parable to them. 'The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, yet when full grown, it is the largest of plants. It becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches.' He spoke to them another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened.' All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He spoke to them only in parables to fulfill what had been said through the prophet, 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what is lain hidden from the foundation of the world.' Then, dismissing the crowds, he went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the wheat in the field.' He said in reply, 'He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed, the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears ought to hear.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
I forgot my homily, and so I'm using my iPad, which I have never done before, but so far it has worked. Where is that one thing that I'm supposed to push in order to get to? I think it's on this page. There it is. This is the first parish that I've ever been in where they gave people tomatoes before Mass. But no one has thrown one yet, so anyway. We'll see. This is St. Meinrad's Sunday. We go out occasionally and talk about what's going on at St. Meinrad. And to let people know and then to show them something of St. Meinrad, I want to say just a little bit about what's going on, and then I want to show you what goes on at St. Meinrad by teaching you. I'm a teacher in the School of Theology. I teach Old Testament, and so I want to talk about the readings this morning. But the New Year's school year is about to open, and the enrollment is good, so the business manager and the rector are happy. We we have seminarians, but we also go out to dioceses and train deacons. And then on weekends, we have people come, lay people mainly come and do master's degrees to work in parishes or just for their own enrichment. So there's lots going on. In the summer, we just had a big conference for young people, high school students. In a way, you can see what we do at St. Meinrad. Your pastor, Father Eric, is an alumnus of St. Meinrad, as is Father Adam. Deacon Jeff was trained in our program, and you have Brother Lorenzo, who is here this summer, so you can see how we're doing. I was thinking, as they were mentioning the new archbishop, I remember the first day that he came to St. Meinrad. He was Chuck Thompson then. I don't call him. I might. But he's a priest of Louisville, and he struck me that day as a good fellow, and that has not changed. He's a good fellow, so I'm happy that he will be installed this week as the new archbishop. As I said at St. Meinrad, I teach scripture, and when I teach scripture, there are basically kind of three questions that you need to answer when you're looking at a passage. You need to ask yourself, what did it mean? What did those words on the page back then, as best I can tell, which is not always easy, but what did it mean? What are those words about? And then a second question is, what does it come to mean? How is that old text, how is it used? How is the Old Testament text used in the New Testament? How is that used in the early church by St. Thomas in the medieval period? And then the third question is, what does it mean? What does it mean to me, to us today? So what did it mean? What did it come to mean? What does it mean? A lot of times I think when people pick up the Bible, they have a kind of the wrong idea about what it can offer them. Sometimes people pick it up and they say, this is the Word of God, therefore it is kind of everything is the same. And it is indeed the Word of God, but it's the Word of God in human words. And really the Bible offers us kind of different perspectives on the mystery of God. It tells us about people's experience of God. And it's not that it's contradictory, but people have different kinds of experiences. And so the text is not telling us the same thing all of the time, but it's telling us about this person or that person's experience. We see that in the Gospel. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's not that they're contradictory, but they tell us different things about the mystery of Christ. And so when we pick up this Bible, we have different things going on. And then it seems to me that sometimes when people pick up the Bible, they want an answer. But it strikes me that the Bible, more often than not, rather than giving us an answer, it gives us a question. It asks us to rethink something that we thought was there. It asks us to kind of think larger, think more in a way that we had not hoped to think. We thought that we couldn't think that big. And the Bible answers us to kind of to do that in a new way. Today, in the first reading, which I could talk a long time about, and I tried to last time, and that made it even longer, but the first reading is about the Lord as King, and it talks about God in His might being able to be just and merciful. And that reading belongs to this tradition in the Old Testament about the Lord is King, let earth rejoice, let all the coastlands be glad. And it presents in the Old Testament this kind of glorious picture of the kingdom of God. And so when we get to the New Testament times, people are looking for the kingdom of God. But they're looking for this kind of great and glorious, marvelous kingdom in which everything is going to be just jolly, and that everything will be okay, and we'll sit around and eat grapes all day, and things will be good. And then Jesus comes proclaiming the kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God is present. But it was not the kingdom of God that people were expecting. And so Jesus begins to explain the kingdom of God. Maybe explain is the wrong word, because he begins to tell them not what the kingdom of God is, but what it is like. And these are the parables. The kingdom of heaven is like. And today we get three parables about the kingdom of God. And in the first one it says, the kingdom of God is like a man who plants good seed in a field. And so there the emphasis is on this fellow, this farmer who's planting his good seed. And then an enemy comes and plants weeds. And the servants come and say, you know, we have the weeds and the good things growing up together. Should we go try to pull out the weeds? And this person uses his common sense, his good sense, and says, no, we can't do that without destroying everything. So it seems to me that this first parable is telling us that the kingdom of God is not about something kind of, you know, way out there, but the kingdom of God is about common sense. It's about living with the reality and not trying to do everything all at once. That's the first parable. I could talk a whole lot more about that, but I won't. The second parable is an interesting parable. It's the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. And the parable tells us that the mustard seed is the smallest seed that there is. Tiny, tiny, tiny little seed. You can hardly see it. It's so small. But this tiny seed is going to grow into this big bush tree that the birds are able to come and to take shelter under. And there it tells me that the kingdom of God is like something really small, something really insignificant, something that we're liable to overlook. And yet, it's that little thing that we're liable to overlook that is going to grow and become very powerful. And I think oftentimes, you know, we think, you know, well, I could do that, but, you know, it's so little and it's so insignificant. Nobody is going to notice, and what difference will it make? Well, this parable is telling us, no, it's those little tiny things, those little things that seem not to matter at all, those little things that are done day to day for this person or that person, the things that we have to do to take care of children or whoever else, but those little tiny things are going to grow and become powerful shelters for people. The third parable tells us that the kingdom of God is like leaven that a woman puts in 3 measures of flour. 3 measures of flour is like a whole bunch. Great big. Great big. And she puts it in the flour and mixes it all up. A little bit. Not a great big, but a little bit. And all of this. And it causes all of that dough to rise and to become ready to be baked and to be fed to lots of people. And so again, in this parable, it's about something that is little, but something certainly for the people at that time that worked mysteriously. They couldn't tell you the chemical way, and there's probably some people here who could explain that. But even once you know that, there is something kind of magical, mysterious about that. And the kingdom of God is about something small that mysteriously makes everything grow and become so that it can nourish people. So Jesus, he's not telling us exactly what the kingdom of God is, but he's only telling us what it is like. And these parables, it seems to me, they raise the question for us, what is the kingdom of heaven like for me? Where do I see the kingdom of heaven at work? If I had to make a parable, what would I say? The kingdom of heaven is like blank. Well, I made up some parables. These are the Harry Hagen parables. Some are not too bad. Some are iffy. You can judge yourself. But to give you an idea, because, you know, I'm a teacher, so you get homework. And your homework is you have to go home and make up your own parable. Figure out what the kingdom of heaven is like. So anyway, the kingdom of heaven is like someone fishing on a river bank who hooks me instead of a fish. The kingdom of heaven is like a spot you can't get out. The kingdom of heaven is like the air we breathe. We don't see it, but without it we'd be dead. The kingdom of heaven is like the air we breathe. The kingdom of heaven is like a reflection in the water, always changing. The kingdom of heaven is like my mother's cooking, never the same. My mother, whenever she would make something, she would always throw something else in this time. It always had to be new and different somehow. The kingdom of heaven is like a mother burping a baby. The kingdom of heaven is like a friend that won't shut up. The kingdom of heaven is like an enemy who is kind to me, even though I hate it. The kingdom of heaven is like a teacher who upsets you. The kingdom of heaven is like a comfortable pair of old shoes that wear out and force us to do something new. The kingdom of heaven is like a nuclear power plant which melts down. The kingdom of heaven is like a person deciding to go to a monastery or a seminary. I don't know, there's probably some people in this parish who used to tell that parable too. There's probably somebody who should join the monastery. Probably not here this morning. That's why he should join. But if you see him, tell him I'm looking for him. The kingdom of heaven is like a person promising another person something for their whole life. Some of you have done that. And the kingdom of heaven is like a group of people in a church on a rainy summer's morning. The kingdom of heaven, yes, is like us. So, what will you say? The kingdom of heaven is like you